Heavenly Father, I ask that you come. Let your Spirit come. Speak to us tonight. Give us the grace to hear what you have for us tonight. Let your Spirit come and ignite within us the fire and the passion to embark on this next 104 days with the fire of your Spirit, with the strength of your Spirit, the force of your Spirit. Let us be ignited tonight, Lord God. Help us, Lord. Each one of the intercessors, Lord God, each person who's on, I just pray, Father God, that you would settle things around them. Settle things in their homes. Settle things if they're in a car. And Father God, let their spirits come to attention that they might receive the word of the Lord tonight. This is critical for our nation. And you conveyed that to me so clearly. So let your word go forth tonight, O God, and impact the hearts and the minds of your people, that we might engage with you in the days ahead. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. In your precious and holy name, amen. So Monday morning, I was awakened at 3:38 a.m. actually, and the Lord was drawing me in to come and be with Him, and as I settled myself, I grabbed my coffee, I grabbed my Bible, I grabbed my notebook, because I knew He had called me in to speak to me. I just knew it. I felt it in my spirit. It was an appointment. It was a divine appointment that He had called me into. And as I sat with Him, very quiet. You know, I often will put worship music on and just move into prayer, worship, but this was very different. It was an appointment. And so I didn't have any music going. I didn't have any distractions at all that would pull away from His voice. It was very different. And as I sat there with my eyes closed and my spirit became more and more ignited, and the Lord came behind me like a father, like a teacher with a small child, you know, so they could reach around. He could reach around me. Of course, you know, size isn't an issue with Him. So he was behind me, and in front of me, I saw it was like frosted glass. That's the only thing that I can describe it as is like a frosted glass. It wasn't a whiteboard. I know sometimes some people say that the Lord came and, you know, wrote on a chalkboard or a whiteboard or their wall. This was a frosted glass. And I've sought Him on that, really, over the last couple of days. What was the significance of that? You know, I actually sought Him for a description of it. And He said, because the future isn't clear yet. It depends on my people. And as He laid out the 2020 election, He laid this out for me. And he posted on this frosted glass what a Democratic win would be, what a Biden win would be. And he said, Biden will be the face, but Obama will be the strings. Biden would be president in name only. Obama would be running a term. And he would be the strings driving the presidency. I saw that the LGBTQ agenda was expanded. And he put on this frosted glass, he put an outline of the United States. And this outline began to expand as though it were bursting at the seams. And I said, what is this? He said, this will be the impact. The LGBTQ movement, we thought it was bad during Obama's term, his time in office, what he put into our schools, the agenda he put into our schools, the legal ramifications of executive orders he signed in office, things that he pushed through Congress while he was there. This will be nothing compared to what will take place. It expanded, and I saw the word MAPS put at the end of this. And if you don't know what MAPS is, MAPS stands for Minor Attracted Persons. Minor Attracted Persons. That's an adult who is attracted to a minor. And there are four men in the UK that are trying to get this legalized. And they have one of their associates has been working with the U.S. He's actually from the U.S. There's that linkage there. If they can accomplish it there, they want to work it over here. And what does that mean? That means if an adult is attracted to a minor and the minor is consenting, clear down through the age of four, there will be no legal ramifications for them engaging in a relationship. They will not have to be considered a pedophile. They won't have to register as a sex offender. Those days will be over. That's what that means. They have, in the past, a few years ago, they applied with the LGBTQ movement, and they tried to join themselves with them, but the LGBTQ movement, you know, they have limits, and they rejected them. They've already developed their own flag. It's pastel in color. It has all pastels. It's a rainbow, but in pastel colors, to appear to the young primary, not the primary colors, but the pastel colors, like you see in a nursery, that's the colors on their flag. That became legalized. The Lord wiped that away, and he showed me a Trump presidency. And this is the word. It said excellence. And there was gold offshoots coming from that word. It was all around. Excellence. And I thought about the gold, you know, in that's symbolic of his hotels. Everything is, you know, lined in gold. And I have often thought that's kind of, you know, gaudy. And the Lord said, it's striving for excellence. That's what that represents. Striving for excellence in all that you do. Striving for excellence in the family, in your education, in your workplace, as parents, as children. Striving for excellence. It was completely void of apathy and complacency. It was devoid of these things. It was a striving for excellence, not out of arrogance, not out of a prideful thing, or I have to be the most successful. It was a striving from deep within to strengthen your community. That's what came out of that. It was very family-oriented. The family unit was collected and connected. The father was an integral role in the family. Excellence. Not out of burden, but out of desire. Out of love. Out of self-respect. It came from a place of strength. That was wiped away. And over on the Biden side, I saw abortion at will. And I know that in many states it is at will. But it was across the nation. Every state, a woman could go in at any place in her pregnancy, request an abortion. There were no 24-hour waiting period. There was no 48-hour waiting period. There was no need to consult the father. There was no need to consult parents if it was a minor. They could go in and walk out having aborted their baby. I saw clinics rise up. There was no need for hospitals at any stage in pregnancy. There was no need. I know that in many states, after the 24th week, you have to do that. The procedure has to be done in a hospital. All of that was done away with. It became so commonplace. It was like a corner store. I said, Lord, how can this be? I saw funding increase 100-fold to promote abortion. I said, how can this be? How can states who have voted for heartbeat bills, how can this be? And he told me it would be seen as a humanitarian effort. That's how it would be sold to the public. This is a humanitarian effort. A humanitarian act for the betterment of your country, for the betterment of mankind, for the betterment of the people that still live. It was promoted as a humanitarian effort, and I couldn't help but think about the countries that have one or two child laws, restrictions. And that day in my inbox, Jay Sekulow's email came through, and the UN was withholding funding for coronavirus until abortion could be added to the package. Holding funding for food for children in crisis areas around the world until abortion would be included in that package. That's a humanitarian effort right there. That's a humanitarian plea. That was wiped away. On the Trump side, I saw the abortion industry exposed. And when I mean exposed, I mean thoroughly and 100% exposed. In 1861, a doctor who was studying the birth. He was studying reproductive process. And in his study, in his research of seeing the process of life from conception to delivery, he studied both humans and he studied animals, because he was trying to research at what point does life begin. 1800s. I believe it was 1861, but please don't quote me on that because I don't have the date in front of me. In his research, extensive research, he came forward and he said, I can come to no other conclusion given all that I have learned in my study, in my research, that life must begin at conception. Too much transpires in the womb for it to be any other way. Life has to begin at conception. That was a scientist, a doctor's declaration before they had the technology that they have today to see inside the mother's womb with an ultrasound. They didn't have that then. The abortion industry was completely exposed. And when I say exposed, I'm talking about the lobbyists that push for funding for Planned Parenthood and other organizations that offer abortions. The eugenics element of it was exposed. I've shared this before, but the black population represents here in the United States 13% of our populations, according to the most recent census. 13% of our population identifies as black. And yet they account for 50% of the abortions that take place. We have on average 60,000 to 70,000 abortions in this nation a year. And that's what's on record. There's many more that take place outside of that. 30,000 of those babies are black. That's eugenics. It was exposed. The money behind it, the money that goes into promoting it, the money that goes into pushing it into our schools, the money, the profit that is gained by these organizations at every step of the abortion process, it was exposed. The abortion industry, I saw a clinic and it was just, it was in shackles, and I say by in shackles or shambles, that's a better word. It was in shambles, as though people fled. Stirrups were kind of off kilter and broken down. It had not been visited in a long, long time. The stainless steel had become corrupted and contaminated with rust. The exposure that came forth was so great. Women were compelled to fight for their babies. That was removed, and I saw the Biden. And he was behind me, so his hand, his right hand would remove the Biden side, and his left hand would then put on the Trump side. And then when he was done showing me that, he would erase that, and his right hand would come back over and reveal the next side. So he revealed the human trafficking. Human trafficking was legalized. You say, how can that be? Prostitution has been legalized in many areas of the world. It used to be a crime. It's now been legalized. because the fight's just too great. The police need to focus on other things. Human trafficking was legalized, every element of it, from the labor force to the sex trafficking, all the way down to the children. Again, you say, how can that be? Well, if MAPS can come into place and it can be legalized for an adult male, a 40-year-old, to be attracted to a 4-year-old, and if that 4-year-old is consenting, no one gets prosecuted. Sex trafficking of children can be legalized. Now, I have grandchildren. I have 6 grandchildren from 2 to 9. And I can promise you, not a single one of them are even capable of making that decision to consent to a relationship of that nature with an adult. It was legalized in our country. It was financially motivated. It was seen as a sacrifice of the children for the good of the nation. Sacrificing the future of these children for the good of the nation. What does all this tell us? That we will experience a tremendous crash. They will crash our economy beyond repair. Because these acts of horrific things against children and the unborn, these acts would rip the heart out of any parent, any grandparent. So for them to legalize these acts tells me there would be such a driving financial motivation. Not just the corruption by the leadership, but financial motivation. That's what would drive this. That was erased. And he brought forth under a Trump presidency. I saw across our country, I saw big, dark vats of black oil. And they were webbed out. And I've spoken about this before, the nests that are in certain areas. There's some in Atlanta. There was one in L.A. There's been some in the southern states that have been actually exposed, and the people have been convicted. And we've got people from pastors to sheriffs to judges to the Child Protective Services of that state, to doctors. All of them are involved in covering this up. All of them are involved in it, and they're all involved in covering it up. So I saw these big black vats of oil, and they're webbed out in one drop of Dawn dish detergent. Now, if any of you have ever used Dawn dish detergent, you know that that dish detergent is really a miracle worker. When my husband would come in working on the car, he'd want the Dawn because it could get that grease off of his hands. One drop in a pot that is full of oil will dissipate the oil from the top of that pan. And that's what I saw take place. Dawn, it was dropped right in the center and it dissipated. Now, when this took place, with abortion and with human trafficking, when this took place, this, I believe it also, one of our team members texted me and said, do you think this refers to the internet too because of the webbing? And I do believe this will expose the dark web. An exposure is going to take place that's so great, an outcry will come forward. People will be exposed. The dark web will be exposed in a way that will become mainstream. When these vats of oil dissipated, it was the most incredible thing that took place in our country, because I saw our skies clear. I saw, you know, and it wasn't as though the skies were not blue in what I was seeing. I saw the skies clear. The sky was bluer. I believe this is a spiritual clouding that's over our country. I believe this has to do with the things that my mom had shared and that we sent out a couple of weeks ago and that she shared about this vortex. Vortex is often very symbolic of mind control. I believe that this has a lot to do with that. The mind control that is over our country. The mind control of these victims. The mind control engaged. The spiritual connection with this. It was broken off of our country. And as a result, things opened up in our country. It gave way for the promises that God has given. We don't realize how serious the spiritual principalities are in a nation. We don't think about it. Intercessors often do. If you come to our gatherings, you've been a part of it. You see it. You hear it as we bring down principalities, as we address principalities over regions after the repentance. You should never address the principality unless you're in this kind of setting. It's too dangerous. But principalities get their strongholds from the bloodletting, the abortion, and the human trafficking. I saw, it was really beautiful. The next thing I saw come, he wiped that down. And then the next thing was back under the Biden reign. I saw troops on our soil. I saw financial collapse. And I saw the media turn on Christians. All the energy that has been focused on President Trump for the last 3 years and 9 months turned to Christians. The persecution of Christians. We already see it when they call us out as Trump supporters. We see that take place already. The media, you think that's why, how could the media persecute us because we're Christians? An 80-year-old man was wearing his Trump hat. He was out holding his sign supporting President Trump. A man pulls up, gets out of his car, he was a veteran, by the way. He takes the sign, he rips it up, he knocks the man down, and he proceeds to kick him with his boots. How can that be? In this day and age, how can someone pull over on a busy street and attack an old man? Because he's a Trump supporter. That's the rage that the media provokes in people. We've talked about this before, turn speakers over the media. They twist things, they lie, they use mind control. I shared this with you. I had a dream back in 89, how the media would be used. It's in our book, Ever Speaking Voice of God, how the media would be used to control people. That's what the media does right now to Trump supporters. All that energy was then turned, because now Trump wasn't in office, all that energy was turned on Christians. And the persecution of Christians began in this nation in unprecedented waves. The Lord removed that, and he put on, under President Trump, the media exposed. And when I say the media was exposed, I mean the media was so exposed that the chairs that the newscasters, the reporter, quote-unquote reporters, sit in, they were spinning. And I saw fresh-faced reporters jump in the seats. People we didn't know. But they were journalists, true investigative journalists, like we used to see back in the 50s and in the 40s and in the 30s, where they had the cap and the rumpled shirts and they always had their pencil and their notepad trying to get the latest news so they could write their article. They could report it on the radio. So I'm talking about since way back then. Investigative journalists jumped in those chairs. The media was so exposed, I didn't recognize a single face on the big, like on the big news channels. They were all brought down. And the fresh-faced journalists that sat in those chairs, they were, there was an innocence about them and a determination to get the truth out. That was their goal. The next thing that I saw was our nation, and this was it for the Biden side that I saw. Our nation, under President Trump, under that seal of excellence, our nation became an impenetrable force. What does that mean? Oh, I'm sorry. Under Biden, I've got notes in the side because I want to make sure I include it. Under Biden, our military was disbanded. Under President Trump, our military is very strong where it's at. But I saw, and it was very shocking, and I don't, I'm just going to share what I saw. Because I saw SEAL Team 6 activities taking place, taking Christians, missionaries, to other countries. It was like a military operation to get them into a place of safety, get them in so that they could release the gospel, and then extract them. I saw military-type operations. I don't know if they were military. I don't want, please don't quote me on that. I don't know if they were military. But what I saw was covert operations taking, extracting people that were being persecuted and taking people into persecuted areas to release the gospel and pull them out. I saw our nation become an impenetrable force. I saw it was like a fortress. The skies were clear, and the flow that was in our country, the flow of the Spirit of God that was in our country,
в Колорадо есть ягодные фермы?
Was so powerful. Excuse me? Someone's off mute. It was so powerful. It was so free. It was so impacting in the earth that the revival that the Lord showed me at the end of the DCGOE that I have shared that began here in the States and went around the world, there was a freedom in that. It's like the revival that went out from Azusa Street. In 2 years, 60 nations, when there wasn't air travel, it was free. It was a free flow, free move of God, unrestricted. Now, we have, I sat there at the end of this, and the Lord said that up until the election, we're going to see an increase in persecution of Trump supporters. So the reason why he wanted us to pray, us to know this information, is so that we could prepare ourselves and we could move into prayer. We have 104 days till the election. 104 days. A lot of people have seen a Trump victory. But I'm here today, and I have seen that myself. But I'm here to tell you that it is dependent on the intercession of the children of God. It is dependent on this. I've been talking to you out of the book of Nehemiah for some time. And I want to cover a few things in there because I think it's important for us to see the connection here and to see the things that Scripture gave us so that we can hold on to these things and we can anchor ourselves in Him for our future. In Him for our future. 104 days to make the difference between imprisoning our children in this horrific sin and setting them free. And you say, well, you know, one man can't do that. Look at the obstacles he's faced. Let me tell you, this particular election, we have 470 seats in the U.S. Congress, 35 Senate seats, and all 435 House seats are up for election. That's a lot of change. 470. 470 opportunities to put a righteous man or woman in office. 470 opportunities to ensure that God's agenda is released in our nation. This nation was created to be a light unto all the earth. That's the purpose of this nation, to release the gospel into all the earth. The Lord knew what would take place in the nations around the world. He knew the persecution, He knew the oppression, and He knew how communism would take over the world. He knew how communism would take over the world. And He knew that the one place that would resist, He said, well, you know, I don't know a lot of countries that are communist. I mean, maybe some socialist. Socialism is communism. It's just a nicer word. The Democratic Party, a few decades ago, sold themselves out to the Communist Party. You vote for a Democrat, you have blood on your hands, because Democrats always vote for abortion. You vote for a Democrat, you're voting for them to bring more socialist agendas into our nation, which is what? Communism. We have 470 opportunities in this country to effect a change, a true change in our nation, a change that will be historic. Historic. We have been praying for the overturning of Roe versus Wade. I know people that have been praying for the overturning of Roe versus Wade since Roe versus Wade happened. I'm talking about that kind of change. I'm talking about a draining of a swamp like you've never seen. And it is up to the intercessors to not only pray, but pray for righteous elections. We've got to pray against voter fraud. We've got to pray for righteous elections. We've got to pray because the promise is if you will pray, I will heal your land. If you will pray, I will answer. If we will pray, we will have the victories that we're praying for. We not only have to pray, we have to get out and vote. One of the reasons judgment came so hard, and we've seen judgment in the house of God in the last 2 years in severe ways, is because the church didn't pray in 2018, and 60 million voters, Christian, charismatic Christian voters, didn't vote. We could have flipped several seats in that election. We didn't pray, and we didn't vote. And God attributed that to the church. That's what he told me. I was up all night that election in the anguish. I gave a message that Thursday after the election because my spirit was so deeply grieved. And one of our Jules Army people over in the far northwest, she's in the thick of it, Virginia. She sent me David Wilkerson's Baptism of Anguish message, and it was exactly what my cry was. Because the church didn't do what we're here for. He said, well, you know, we're not supposed to be political. We're supposed to be influencers. Last year I talked to you about anti-mantles. This year I've been talking to you about being an influencer in the earth. The church is called to be influencers. If the church, the righteous men and women, are not influencers in the earth, who's going to influence the earth? The enemy. That's who's influencing it. If the righteous men and women don't get out and vote, get out and take action, get out and do along with their intercessions, the influencers are from the dark side. We are called to be the influencers in the earth. One nation, what under God? This is a nation written out, created to be a nation under God. You don't see a lot of international money with one nation under God. This is what we're called to be. I'm talking about the end time release of missionaries around the world. The end time harvest that has been spoken of. The end time harvest that Bob Jones spoke about in 2010, I think it was. It's supposed to come and flow from here. Influencers. Because the influence of this nation impacts the earth. I told you guys, I keep telling you guys, you're probably sick of me saying it. The Lord told me 2020 would be the year of shaking, but he is shaking everything that cannot be shaken. People who are steeped in darkness are very shakable. The believers that cling to him become an unshakable force in the earth. That's what he's doing through us in this hour. That's what he's doing in us in this hour, creating an unshakable force, a force to be reckoned with. When we look at the book of Nehemiah, this is the building, the rebuilding of the temple. The temple had been built. Cyrus decreed it. The temple had been built. Many of the Israelites had returned to the city of Jerusalem. They were inhabiting the homes. But the wall had not been restored. This is the fortress. This is the impenetrable fortress that I'm talking about. Building this. This is what we're called to do. This is the work of the intercessor. In 1983, a man who was a man of prayer, he prayed at least 5 hours a day. And he said that Donald J. Trump would bring America back to God. I shared this with you, I think it was last week. And the man said, Donald Trump, the Playboy, the American Playboy? Really? He said, that's what the Lord says. So we get President Trump elected, and among the first things he does is give the voice back to the church. 501c3 stripped the voice of God, the voice of the church from the nation. Now, he gave the voice back to be the influencer. He's paved the way. We didn't vote for him to be our pastor. We voted for him to drain the swamp where there's a bunch of gators and a bunch of serpents swimming around. The church is called to rise up in this hour. The way, the path has been paved for this nation to turn back to God. The things that are holding us down, abortion and human trafficking taking place on our soil, we'll be praying over things next week. Please, please, please join us for the time of prayer, our phone GOE next week. That paves the way for the enemy. Those activities of abortion and human trafficking feed the gators and the serpents. We have a president trying to overturn abortion and end human trafficking. What does that do? It clears the skies for the church and the Spirit of God to rise up. The glory of the Lord to come down and be released. When Nehemiah went, he went with a burden. He was the wine. He was a cupbearer. He delivered the wine to the king. This king was likely Esther's son. She would have taught her son the history of the people, their people. So when he saw his most trusted cupbearer grieved, Nehemiah, what's going on? He had heard about his people. He had been in prayer for days. He had been fasting for days and days, 4 months, I believe it was. And when it was his turn to be the cupbearer, the king saw it in his face. And he released him with all the documents, the papers he needed to go and rebuild, because he saw that the path had been paved. The temple had been rebuilt, the people were returning, but the wall had not been built. There was not a fortress yet. Jerusalem was still lacking. He gives them everything he needs to go to Jerusalem. He appoints him as governor. He goes, and as he is leading his people, he is a man on fire with a passion to see the will of God. Only God could have opened the pathway for him to leave the king in the midst of his duties and travel. Who knows when he'd return? Only God could do that kind of release. And as he got there, he surveyed the city, and he saw, in fact, the walls were all in disarray. They had not been rebuilt. The city was not its greatness, as in the time of David, as in the time of Solomon. And we've talked about this before. Why was it in ruins? Why was it in shambles? Why was the house allowed to be destroyed? Because the people had turned their backs on God. They had sinned. And that's what he told Solomon, right? We talked about that in our 10 Days to Pentecost message. When the people rebel, I will lift my covering. That's what he does. When the people rebel and resist the word of the Lord, I lift my covering. Right now, we're in the process, and we have been this entire time of rebuilding the house of God. of returning the people back to this greatness. And now we're in the process of building and fortifying the strength of this country. As Nehemiah went and he rallied the people, I pulled up a map of this and went through, and it showed each segment in each family, each person, even the priest was involved. The high priest was involved in this. Restoring the wall. Restoring the wall. And the enemy comes in, right? Nehemiah chapter 4. The enemy comes in verse 1 and 2, Sanballat and Tobiah, they come in and they mock the believers. They mock the unbelievers. They come in. I mean, my goodness, if Sanballat and Tobias doesn't sound like the media, the deep state run media, I don't know what does. Mocking the people. What do you think you're doing? This isn't necessary. He was provoking. He called them feeble. He was provoking them to shame. He was discouraging them. But what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 4. When they came in and they were mocking them and they were tearing them down in their efforts. What did Nehemiah say? Hear, O God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity, and cover not their iniquity. Let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. How could Nehemiah make such a declaration? Because he knew that they had been called, they had been commissioned to build that wall. And the people of God could not be hindered. He encouraged the people. Because the enemy's going to come in and try to discourage us and keep us from doing this. Nehemiah and the group, the people, built that wall up in 52 days. We have twice that long to build up the fortitude and the strength around this country. People will mock us. They will try to discourage us. They will try to shame us. They'll try to tell us our work isn't valuable. What's the point of praying? What's the point of fighting like you're fighting? What's the point? What's the point? Look at what you do, what you put your hand to, fails. And the Lord God says, no, I commissioned you for this. I created you, I called you, and I commissioned you for this. Build the strength of my nation. We are the strength of this nation. The infrastructure is being put in place. A lot of executive orders have been signed to end human trafficking. A lot of executive orders have been signed. There's pushback. States know that we finally have a man in office that will end abortion. A lot of states have heartbeat bills. Why? Because they're waiting for Roe versus Wade to be overturned. And that kicks it back to the law of the state. And that law is intact. The infrastructure is in place. Regulations that stop growth in the economy. So much of that has been removed. This nation is set to launch. And when that launch comes, the resources come, it's going to be able to release the move of God in the earth. There will be no restriction by money, by funding, because it will release. It will release the move of God in the earth. God says, I've given you 104 days to get this victory. I've given you twice the amount of time. What I talked about this last time as well. What happened? Outside sources, because people from outside the city came in and they were helping to rebuild this wall. And their family came in and they said, hey, we just heard there's intel coming through. They're about to attack you. Come home. Come home. An attack is coming. Nehemiah gets up and he encourages the people. No, we will not stop our work. You're not going to distract us from the thing that God tells us to do. God will protect us. What do? They get the trumpeters out. They get the swords out. They get the men with the bow and arrow. And they're on all levels of that wall. And they are guarding the people as they build the wall. Nehemiah says that the people, they didn't even wash their clothes as they built this wall, because they were always at the ready. They'd rest, go back to work. Why? Because they understood the impact of creating the fortitude, the security around this country, around this city. And that's what God is calling us to do, secure it. We can't rely on the fact that the Lord says that we'll have the victory in November. We can't just sit back and rely on that. If we do nothing, that's what's going to happen. Nothing. We have to fight this through. We have to fight it through prayer, through encouraging one another, staying in the Word. This is the most important 104 days of our history. This is the most important 104 days of our history. 470 seats are up for vote. Do you know the impact of that kind of red wave across our country? Can you imagine what will take place? Up until that point, the naysayers are going to come in, the Sanballats are going to come in, the people are going to come in and try to dissuade us from what we're doing. They're going to try to malign our president. But I am telling you, you have got to remember what the Lord said about a Biden win, because that's just not about a Biden win. That's a democratic rule right there, a communistic nation right there. That's the result of it. And it'll happen all the way down the line. We cannot grow weary in our efforts to fight for this nation. We cannot grow weary. Our sword has to stay in hand. Our tools have to stay in hand. We have to have our loins girded and equipped and prepared. That's what Nehemiah did. He girded the people up with the covering they needed to finish the work that God had commissioned them to finish. If the enemy had won, the city would have been vulnerable to another assault. Another nation coming in, burning the temple, and destroying the houses. The work had to be done. Nehemiah 4:9 says, even though they conspired, that was verse 8, nevertheless we made our prayer unto God, set a watch against them day and night. Verse 14, and I looked and I rose up and I said to the nobles and the rulers and the rest of the people, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Fight. Fight. This is the ignition, my friends. Fight. We cannot grow weary in this effort. Make sure we've covered everything. What we do, what the body of Christ does, and I'm telling you, people are raising up as intercessors. Someone sent me an email after last week. I encourage people to let us know if they were having trouble, if they were feeling discouraged, so that we could pray. and actually did get emails on this. So I say to you, in the name of Jesus, be refreshed in your work. In the name of Jesus, let your spirit be ignited by the sound of this message, by the understanding that the Lord has brought, by the word of the Lord that's being released in this nation. Be encouraged and know that God is on your side. God is on the side of this nation, and the things that will be birthed in this next 104 days are things that will be historic and that will go down in the annals of heaven, sealed in the annals of heaven. History will record your efforts as you stood in the gap for a nation to build up the fortitude. History will record your personal efforts to fight. May the Lord ignite in your spirit. Clear the cloudiness from your mind. Let your spirit come to attention in Jesus' name and wage war against the enemy. Wage war against the enemy's camp. Because you're fighting for righteousness. You're fighting. This is an eternal fight. Eternal fight. We stand in the gap because the Lord Jesus called us to. We build the wall, the strength, the fortitude, the protection, the security that covers the house of the Lord and the people of God. And you say, well, this nation, it's so much has happened. That's right. But what did this word say? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and seek my face, repent and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear their cry from heaven and heal their land. The next 104 days, that's the decree. He's healing our land. Be a part of it. Be a part of it. Let your spirits be ignited in a way that you never imagined. As he awakens you in the night season to come, it's time to pray. Let me speak to you so you can pray. My declarations. Declare the word of the Lord over your city, over your state, over the district in which you live. Declare the word of the Lord that the righteous men and women will be elected in your area. From the city council all the way up, 470 people, 470 seats are up for election. And that's just on the big stage. Let's show them what prayer can do. Let's see it from the top all the way down to the city council, the school districts. There's a district in Virginia. Every single seat flipped. In a special election, every single seat flipped red all the way down to the school district. So don't tell me it can't be done. Because that was the result of prayer. Father God, I thank you for this word tonight. I thank you for what you released this week. I pray, Father God, that you would send this forth and ignite the hearts and the minds and the spirits of the people. I pray, Father God, that you will bring them back to a place of a weeping intercessor, Lord God. If they feel this season has been too difficult, refresh them, heal them, strengthen them, and bring them back to the intercessor they know they can be, Lord God. bring them back to the warrior that they can be, that you created them to be, the unshakable force in the earth. Bring them back to that, O God. Ignite them, O God, that they can stand in the gap and not grow weary, that they will stand, they will encourage, they will support. They will declare the word of the Lord. They will rely on the promises of God. They will declare the promises of God. That's what Nehemiah taught us, to rely on the promises of God, to declare the promises of God. Lord God, we stand on your word. Bring the intercessors in with us next week as we come before you, O God, and repent before you over the sins of this nation. We know this nation isn't perfect. We know, Lord God, even the righteous men and women you have in office, they're not perfect. But, Father God, we come and repent because your word tells us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, repent and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. So bring the people in next week, Lord God, to come and to pray with us, to weep before your face over the sins of this nation. I thank you, Father God. I thank you, Father God. In your precious and most holy name, amen.